Welcome to Baby Boomers Live, the show about all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. All things hot and all things not. News, reviews, interviews, chat, sex, and what's next. And here are your hosts, Risa Gray from Betty White's Out There Rockers, and Easy Dad, Jim Zuley.
Good morning, Risa.
Good morning, Jim. How are you this fine Monday morning?
There we go again. I'll tell you, it's Thanksgiving's upon us, huh?
Yeah, it is.
How does this stuff come up so fast? I mean, we've talked about this before. Do you really think time goes faster as you get older?
Absolutely. I think we're just more aware. We have more to do. We have places to go, people to see.
That's just fair. Flies
by.
And, you know, what you just said is what a lot of baby boomers have to realize. I have that in my hot topic, is we don't want to sit around in a chair all the time. I mean, there's nothing wrong with watching TV. You just don't want to do it all the time. A lot of stuff to do.
Absolutely.
A lot of stuff to do, a lot of people to see. You should write a book sometime, Risa, and your experience.
Ripped from the headlines. Today's hot topic.
Well, my hot topic today is basically saying that, is it too early for Christmas? I mean, seriously? I know time is flying, but aren't we making it fly a little bit faster? I cannot believe that it's November 17th. Stores have Christmas decorations up. The holiday commercials are on. Black Friday is no longer Black Friday. It's apparently Black November, because it seems like the entire month they're doing pre-Christmas sales. It's absolutely unbelievable to me how we are just treating Christmas like it's around the corner. And I guess a month and a half is almost around the corner. But really? I mean, I remember when I was a teenager, I came downstairs a week before Thanksgiving one time. And my grandmother had already started putting up the Christmas decorations. And I was just appalled, because we always had Thanksgiving decorations for Thanksgiving. And then the day after Thanksgiving, you took them down and you started with the Christmas. So not only are we now starting a week before Thanksgiving with Christmas, we're starting the entire month before. I don't know. I think it's just a little too much. What do you think, Jim?
Well, you know, it's true. And it's people jump the gun. And what they say is the advertisers for promotions and that, the ones that get it out first draw the attention. So that's probably why in August we'll be seeing the Christmas decorations up, because everybody will want to go another month early. You know,
it's like
that with our cars, too. I mean, it's the cars are coming out months before it's actually the year of the car. The date of the automobile, you know, it's like they really do jump the gun, but I guess there's a purpose for it. I don't know.
I think it's just too much. I think we're sending the wrong message. Well, we're always sending the wrong message about Christmas, have been for years. But I think when we start advertising the toys and, you know, everybody's not cheerful at the holidays. That's the other thing, too. There's a lot of depression attached with this holiday season. And so for those who have not, it really kind of sends the message that if you aren't in the swing, you know, you're not the man or the woman, you know. And I think we should kind of tone down and maybe go back to some of the, first of all, the real meaning of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe celebrate it a little bit closer to the actual date. I mean, That's my opinion.
That's true, Risa, and it does lead to depression, because a lot of people are alone around the holidays. But if they would, you know, some of these reports we do, yes, there are a lot of situations by our, you know, when we get to our age, maybe some family members have passed away or close friends or spouses, but there's so many people out there that we can meet if we get out and get involved, you know?
Absolutely. So what's your hot topic for this morning?
Well, mine ties in a little bit with this. I'm going to touch on idle time. Make it count. Many retire now. They find themselves with just a lot of time on their hands, and they find themselves sitting around watching TV, which is nothing wrong with that. I enjoy that too, but they're doing it too much, and they're just reading and lying around and sitting, watch TV, reading, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it's basically not good for your health, especially, you know, when you're talking, there's doctors that say you can't sit around for more than 5 hours a day. It's not good. Well, a lot of us have that beat. Well, here comes the weight issues that come to, and then if you're sitting around and snacking, I know it's hard, but learn to turn off the TV and don't turn it on. Just don't turn it on as often. You know, it is a habit. Instead, take that time and tackle the boxes that have been sitting around in the garage or for the past 10 years. There's a lot of stuff you can sell or give away. You might find some stuff that you'd lost years ago. And you can also, you know, there's so much you can do. You can get involved in looking for a home business. You can get involved in certain sports or whatever activities. Take that idle time and make use of it. Get into an exercise class. Get into some volunteer work. You know, look around the house instead of turn on TV. Say, you know what, I'm gonna go hit that that closet that's full of boxes. Whatever the scenario, it's good that you keep active, especially you can wind up with the volunteering, with all the programs that are out there for seniors and other people looking for things to do. You'll be out meeting new people, and it'll eventually change your life right there. You know, so that's
it's true.
You know, that's what we were touching on, Aretha, before, you know, when we talk about people and health situations and they're, you know, depressed or whatever. You know, like what you're always busy. You're always going on trips, traveling around, and I know you meet a lot of people. I meet a lot of people. I've met so many people through the events we go to and that. And it's stimulating, and it really gets you thinking, because they have ideas and so on, and you think, oh, wow, look at what they're doing. And life can really be a lot of fun, and it's like you don't have to think of retirement as just, oh, no, now what do I do, you know?
Absolutely. Well, that brings us up to our first commercial.
Innovation, philanthropy, consciousness, and commerce collide with Hollywood at the 2015 Ascent Expo at the Los Angeles Convention Center on February 27th through March 1st. Get your company, product, idea, or cause exposed at this historic event, featuring beauty, fashion, art, and music on an enormous center stage with 50 electrifying performances, tens of thousands of people, and a star-studded red carpet. Experience an overwhelming flow of potential customers, clients, business partners, collaborators, and investors. Prime exhibitor space and sponsorships are selling fast. Visit AscentExpo.com. That's AscentExpo.com.
Hello.
Russ, are you on with us?
Yeah, I'm on.
Hello, Russ. Mr.
This is Russ Regan.
Russ Regan, Mr. Super Music Man. Well, thank you for coming on our show, Russ. I know how busy you are, and I was so glad I had an opportunity to meet with you the other night. And I'll tell you what, you're one amazing guy. In my report, I don't know if you listened to it, I talked about retirement and, you know, so on and so forth, and meeting people and getting out there. And your statement was there's no such thing, or there should be no such thing as retirement. And you just always keep busy, which is what's really so important, you know.
I think retirement is a dangerous thing to do, because you got to keep your mind working. You got to stay active. And I think people, I've seen too many people retire and die, you know.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
It's just not a good thing. And I think people are underestimating the power of their wisdom. The older they get, the smarter they get. And they should keep on using that wisdom to do new things.
Oh, yeah,
well, Betty
for sure.
Davis told me one time that, you know, Betty Davis from Baby Jane fame told me one time that you stop working, you die.
Well,
so
she was right.
Keep working.
You know, she believed that. I was a great fan of hers, and she worked right up to the day she died.
Absolutely.
She worked as long as, then she had her health problems there where she couldn't work anymore, but she worked as long as she could work.
Well, you know, Russ, you're still going strong. I mean, you've got an amazing life. Your bio that I was reading is just amazing, and it seems like you still have that energy. What would you say that gives you that drive? I mean, because I ask you that because you're a good inspiration to a lot of listeners that really think, well, nobody needs me anymore. I'm retired. I'm going to sit around. And, you know, the health gets bad, and they sit around, they snack, and you know, they just don't go in the right direction. And that's just what you do is what we're trying to get out there.
Yeah, Jim, let me say this to you. I have a saying, as when your vocation is your vacation, you never go to work. So I love what I do. And the biggest problem, and how many times have you heard this, I can't wait to retire. Because you know why they say that? Because they hate their job. And that's a sad situation. When you hate your job, it's tough to keep working. And that's a big problem. So I haven't had that problem. I love the music business.
Russ, tell us a little bit about what you have done for those of us who aren't familiar your vast body of work.
Well, you know, I was going to.
Good.
There's so much. I was just going to break it down.
I was going to say, let Russ tell us.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Go
I'll
ahead,
be happy
Russ.
To tell you, just as easier to Google, but the bottom line here is I was fortunate enough to start with a man named Barry Gordy in the 61 with Motown Records, and I learned the music business from a true genius who Mr. Barry Gordy is. And I learned how to promote records and, you know, develop artists and things like that. And then, of course, I named the Beach Boys in 1961 and made them stars along with their father, Murray Wilson.
How did you come up with the name the Beach Boys?
Well they were the Pendletons, weren't they, Russ?
Yeah. A friend of mine signed them to Candix Records as the Pendletons. He called me and he said he was going to put out their first record called Surfin'. And I said, well, that's great. I like it. It sounds like a Jan and Dean kind of a record, but it sounds like a hit. So he says, well, I'm going to change their name, though. He said, I'm going to change their name to the Surfers. And I said, well, you can't call them the Surfers because there's another group called the Surfers. So he says, well, give me a name. So I says, well, call them the Woodies. And he didn't like that. So he says, call them the Hang Tens. He says, I don't like that. I said, call them the Beach Boys. He said, that's it. And that's how we got their name.
That's amazing. And then, I mean, you've helped Frank Sinatra with the hit That's Life, which was number four in
66. Yeah, I found that song That's Life for Frank Sinatra in 1966. He flew me to Vegas. Mo Austin, the president of Reprise Records, I took it to him, and he took it to Frank Sinatra. And Sinatra, of course, recorded with a famous producer, Jimmy Bowen, who did that. And then Mr. Sinatra flew Mo and myself to Vegas to personally thank us. And that was the biggest thrill of my life, to meet Frank Sinatra. He's one of my biggest, I was a great fan of his. And so that was a great thrill for me because it was, the only number one R&B record he ever had.
yeah, exactly. And, I mean, do you have pictures in that? I mean, you guys ever hang out?
Jim, I'm sick about that. We didn't have these cameras we didn't have these phones in those days.
Exactly.
I didn't take any pictures. I wish I'd have taken pictures because it would have been great. But I don't have any pictures with me and Frank Sinatra.
I've had situations where I'm thinking, geez, if only I had a camera. You know, the Rolling Stones with Morrison and that back in Chicago in the 60s and whatever.
Yeah.
But, Russ, we didn't have those little phones and cameras that could do that,
No, we didn't have anything like that. So I unfortunately don't have a lot. And I was never a big collector. I should have been a collector. If I'd have been a collector, I would have had millions of dollars worth of memorabilia, but I didn't collect.
Well,
what groups did you work with at Motown?
What's that?
What groups did you work with at Motown?
Well, I worked with the two acts that I broke here in Los Angeles, California, were the Supremes and Marvin Gaye. Those two artists became stars, but they were stars here in L.A. before they were stars anywhere. So those were the two biggest. And I worked with Mary Wells. I worked with the Four Tops, the Temptations. I worked with Stevie Wonder. I worked with all of them, I was actually president of Motown for 2 years.
Yeah, you promoted songs by the Supremes, Smokey Robinson, The Miracles,
yeah.
Stevie Wonder,
oh,
The
yeah.
Temptations. I mean, it's amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. Those were great days for me. I really enjoyed doing that. Great music, great times.
I remember in the military, we were sitting around, it was about, I don't know, Russ, what do you think, about 1970, when What's Going On with Marvin Gaye, was it about 1970? Somewhere
yeah.
around there? Yeah. Well, we were all listening to the Marvin Gaye music and sitting around thinking, you know, it's that was, now that was in the 70s. Now, you started in the 50s, right? Composing?
No, I started in 1959 was my first record. 1959. I was a singer-songwriter with Capitol Records in 1959.
And
yeah,
what song was that?
It was called Joan of Love. Yeah. It was a single, 45 single, and didn't sell really well, but that year in 1959, I produced the Christmas hit of the year, the Happy Reindeer song. Dancer, Prancer, Nervous. I did that for Capitol. It sold almost a million records.
And you were inspired by the Chipmunk song, huh? I remember.
I sure was. I said, if the Chipmunks can sing, reindeer can sing.
And then Joan of Love, Calling All Cars. What, that was with Bono, wasn't
well,
it?
Calling
Sonny
All
Bono?
Cars. Sonny Bono produced that for me. Yeah. Sonny Bono and I were very close friends. I love that. The most underrated music man ever in the history of the music business. He was
a well-liked person, though.
An incredible. We all liked him. But they underestimated his ability. Everything he touched, he made it happen. And but he never got the credit he deserved, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. Probably not the same as when he was in Congress. But, you know, the years go by fast. You know, it's amazing. You've done all this stuff. The years go by so fast. And you have these memories, but you're still moving on. I mean, there's just, like I met you last night at the event, and you... Now, Reith and I talk about this a lot. I'm old school. I'm with the 8-tracks. Reith is the high tech. What do you think? Now, you're a good example for someone that's been through it from the 50s up till today. What do you think the transition in the music business regarding this new technology with the computers and, you know, the big sound room they used to have, now somebody can sit there on their computer and, you know, make these sounds come out. I mean, how did you transition into this new world?
Well, like everything else, technology is good and technology is bad. And some of it is good, but a lot of it is bad. And I'll tell you, it's taken the personal possession out of music. In other words, when you have it on your iPhone or iPad or iPod, whatever,
yeah.
it's not personal. You don't have a touchy-feely. You don't touch that 45 or you don't touch that CD. It's not in your hand. And
yeah, I can relate.
It doesn't feel the same. And that's why, by the way, vinyl, a lot of people are buying vinyl again, which is interesting.
I got them, Russ. I still have all my stuff sitting there.
Well, now vinyl's making a comeback a little bit. It'll never take over, but it's making a small comeback, and people are buying vinyl records again.
They're selling record players again also.
Yes, that's why, because they're making records. But like in Japan, for example, the physical record business is still very much alive. 80% of the records sold in Japan are physical, and 20% is digital. Here, it's just about opposite of that. So, you know, I think somehow, some way, we've got to get the personal, touchy-feely music business back, you know, where people can see it,
exactly.
touch it, and feel it. And, but right now, the other sad part to me is a lot of music is being stolen. People steal, you know, they're just downloading illegally, and that's not a good thing because artists, you know, bust their, I won't say the word, but... excuse me. They work hard to make that music, and then it goes out to the public, and they steal it. How does the public expect an artist to make a living if he doesn't get paid?
That's
a bad situation. And that's the bad part. But anyway, you know, it's the way it is right now. The people that are trying to take it under control. The music business right now is a little out of control.
Yeah, and you know, it's like you mentioned. You got the yin and the yang. There's the good side, but then there's always the downside of it. And these artists work hard to get their stuff out there, and if somebody pushes a button, and poof, there it goes. You know.
Well, if a consumer would only think about this. There's the writing of the song, there's the singing of the song, the producing of the song. There's an engineer involved. There's a producer involved. An artist involved. There's all kinds of people that have to make their living making this music, and if they don't get paid, how are they going to make a living? And that's a sad situation. If nobody's doing that, I wish somebody would get on television every day and say, kids, pay for the music. It's only 99 cents for a single. I mean, what the heck? That's less than buying a cup of coffee or a milkshake or whatever. So,
yeah.
You know, give me a break. I mean, and it lasts for a long time. It isn't one-time use. You download a single, you can keep it for life. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
These people download these singles and they don't pay for it. It's just a sad situation.
Rush, you're associated with one of my favorite all-time songs, Mr. Postman.
I was just going to bring it up.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah.
This is number one Billboard Top 100.
Yeah, deliver the letter, the sooner the better.
Exactly.
That was by the Marvelettes,
wasn't it? What was your association with it?
Well, I promoted that record here in California. I was a West Coast promotion guy for Motown Records, and that was the first record that I promoted for Motown.
It was the first Billboard Hot 100, right?
Yeah, it was on Tamla Records, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You know, and we started out as Tamla Motown Records. And then later
Tamla
on,
Mr.
was
the
Gordon,
red label.
Yeah, Tamla was the label that Please Mr. Postman was on.
No, wasn't that the Marvelettes that did that? What did I?
The Marvelettes, absolutely. The Marvelettes, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I still have my stacks of 45s
well,
there
in there. There you go.
Yeah. But, you know, the transition's been made, and here you are. Do you still, I mean, you know, from what you were doing, you're the president of, was it 20th Century Fox Records and so on, and you and I and so on. But do you still dabble much in this business as far as the recordings and all that?
Absolutely.
Do you have
to
learn all this new stuff?
Yeah, I'm learning. I've learned the new stuff. I'm not living in the past. I'm saying that's another thing. I think people make the mistake of living in the past too much.
Yeah.
You can reminisce about the past, which is fine, but I don't live there. I live for today. I'm a today guy.
Keeping
so,
up.
Yeah, and I'm consulting a couple of projects right now. I'm very active, actually, very active.
Well, you know, that's the key, like we were talking about before, staying active. And it actually, in a way, it kind of gets more exciting a little bit. I mean, you're meeting people, and now they have a life, a lifelong experience behind them, and you're sharing each other's past and accomplishments, and it gets kind of exciting, and you do meet a lot of interesting people. But that's the key. It's like you said originally when I met you, you didn't believe in retirement. It's like, bingo, that's the key. My doctor retired, and I saw him a year later. He said it was a big mistake. His wife got tired of him hanging around the house, and he was gaining weight.
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead.
Ambrosia? What, 20th Century?
Ambrosia was one of my bands, yes, sir. They're a great, great band, and they're still active. The stars that I developed, it's amazing. Most of them are still working. I made Elton John a star. He's still working big time. Neil Diamond, a star. He's
Neil Diamond,
working.
Yeah. And when Jimmy Miller left the Rolling Stones, didn't you do a little deal with him?
I helped him a little bit, but I didn't make him a star, but he was already, But anyway, Olivia Newton-John, she's back and working strong. And the only, Alan Parsons, he's not working that much, but he's still around. And Barry White, of course, passed. He died on me, which I at 57, which broke my heart. He was such a great artist. We changed the birth rate of America with his music.
Oh yeah, and
he raised the birth rate of America by 5%.
And I know you helped promote something with the B.B. King and Henry Gross.
A little bit, but not. I didn't make those people stars. I just worked with them.
Okay.
I actually was responsible for developing six superstars. That I can take credit for.
And now, you know, moving along a little bit here, you, as far as, that's music. Now, you inspired to create the cult movie, the World War II, behind the scenes with the Fox footage?
An incredible documentary called All This in World War II with the Beatles music, the London Symphony Orchestra, and some of the greatest stars in music. And it was just a wonderful film, but unfortunately, it was ahead of its time, and
yeah.
It's sitting in the vault at 20th Century Fox.
Sitting in the vault. Boy, I'll tell you, that someday they'll open that vault. That'll be an amazing, amazing
it's a
thing
great experience. It's a wonderful, it's really a absolutely, it was way ahead of its time.
Well, that's kind of where you're at. And then you supervise the soundtracks for, Endless Love and The Karate Kid, All the Right Moves, Love at First Bite. I mean, that's some big stuff.
Well, I did four films that won Academy Awards for music. Chariots of Fire won an Academy Award. I was a supervisor on that. Towering Inferno won an Academy Award. Poseidon Adventure.
Poseidon,
and also, and Flashdance. Won an Academy Award, so I was. I've been very active. I did about 30 movies, four of which were Academy won Academy Awards for music.
Wow! Now that there's where some of the technology. When you get into that realm, now you're dealing with, what's your take on? You've seen the pictures that we used to watch years ago, and now you see them, and they're actually incorporating your computer images with the people. So it's kind of a blend, and sometimes you really can't even tell the difference. This stuff is getting... Where do you think the future of music's going? I mean, from the past to where you've seen the transition, where would you like it to go to now as far as, because we run into so many artists that want to get out there, and they're looking at a different way now, a different avenue of getting out there.
Well, the delivery system is constantly changing, It never stays the same. So it's hard to predict on where the delivery system is going for music. But, the key is always to make the best possible music you're capable of making. And if that music hits a bell with the public out there, then you can become a star. And if it doesn't ring true with them, you're not going to be a star. It's as simple as that. It's all about creativity. If you can create better music, like a Bruno Mars, look how hot he is right now. He's making better music. Pharrell Williams, they're making better music than the other guy. Lady Gaga's doing duets with Tony Bennett and people like that. And, it's just amazing how some of these artists are doing. And you got to be better than the next guy. That's one thing that's never changed.
Exactly. And, I think you've met my son in his easy way with his social media world outreach. That's one of the ways to get out there. And he keeps on the cutting edge. I have a hard time I don't keep up with it. I listen to Aretha's, her information, informative little sections, and I'm trying to keep up, but... Eric's easy way does it now. You're with about two dozen other radio and music industry people that you're a member of the nominating committee of the Hit Parade Hall of Fame, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and you're one of the only few recording executives in the world who has had the number one record in each of the four decades from the 70s to 2000. Now that's something to be proud of.
Well, I'm very proud of what I've accomplished. I'm very grateful for what I've accomplished because I've been lucky enough to be in a wonderful business, and I've had a lot of great mentors, and I've worked for some great companies, and I've just been a very lucky guy, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah,
what are you up to now,
Russ?
What things are you working on now?
I'm consulting a very great country artist now, Leslie Kors Mather. She's wonderful. She'll be coming out probably April of next year with a great record. She's an incredible singer. Denny Deonte, our producer, is a famous producer. Get Barbara Streisand and people like that. And he's making a great album with her. And I'm also working with a young Canadian artist named December Rose. She's more of a pop artist. So I'm working with them, and I'm going to a meeting today to meet a little 12-year-old to see if I don't know whether I see if she can sing or not.
That's cool.
Yeah. So,
well, Rush, you know, how busy you are, and we just thank you for coming on our show. How can we? Do you have a Facebook or a email we can get get a hold of you at all? Or
well, I'm on Facebook. The easiest way to get a hold of me is on Facebook.
Okay. All right.
But the thing is, I'm telling everybody out there, stay active as long as you can be active.
Exactly.
Because it's good. It's good for your health.
Well, that's the key, and that's what we try to get out, because there's no reason to sit around that lounge chair when there's so much going on, you know. And,
yes, and it's been a pleasure talking to you all, and
thank you for having
me on the show.
Well, thanks for your time, and hope to be talking to you and meeting with you again.
Absolutely. Call me anytime.
Thanks, Russ.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye,
Russ.
What a pass. What a life. And I can't just say past. He's still going strong, and that's the kind of example we need, you know.
Smartphone, cell phone, PC, Mac, tablet, iPad. That's right. It's tech time.
Well, even though I criticized us talking about Christmas so soon, I'm going to talk about Christmas because people are actually shopping now, and you might as well know what's out there to get your gifts. So last week I talked about the toys that were coming out, and I'm going to continue that this week with just toys that have been updated to the modern times and taken into the tech world. So first of all, we have a Scalextrix. I'm not sure how to pronounce this. Scalextrix ARC-1. Which is a new take on the old slot cars. For those of us that remember in the 50s, late 50s, early 60s, when we had slot car tracks all through the house, all around the living room, and those electric cars would go flying around and flying off of the tracks. And they even had slot car parlors, I guess they were called. I don't remember exactly. But you could go out and competitively race at these places. It's kind of like a bowling alley except with slot cars. Well, now they've gone high tech, and you can operate them from your smartphone, whichever kind you have, and you can get all kinds of information about the slot car on your phone. So you can set the race length. You can turn on features such as fuel load and tire wear. Can you imagine tire wear on slot cars? Now, I guess they have a way of, you know, calculating how much tire wear would actually be happening if it were a real car. And you just set up the tracks, I guess, the same way as in the old days, but you operate it from your smartphone and have a lot more features. So these new slot cars run about $150. I'm sure that's a lot more expensive than our old tracks and slot cars were. Also this year, they've got high-tech dinosaurs. Who would have thought, you know? These are robot dinosaurs. I remember the old dinosaurs we used to have made out of a little hard plastic, but these are actually high-tech dinosaurs. There's one by Techstars, and there's one called Zoomer Dino Boomer, and they're both T-Rexes, and they're powered by batteries, and their eyes light up, and they can actually supposedly tell you what mood they're in by the way their eyes light up, and you can feed it a bone, which it'll chew on before burping it back out. Isn't that lovely? And they're controlled with hand gestures. At least the Texta T-Rex is controlled by hand gestures. And so you can make it do different tricks and do different things, and it's you actually get to interact with the dinosaur.
Wow.
So they do have a couple of those out this year. One of the toys that I thought was really neat is Barbie's color-changing handbag. Now, Barbie has always, you could always get Barbie handbags. Now, I think I'm probably a little too old to carry a Barbie handbag about now. But they're about 15 inches long. So they are, you know, for the little girls, not really for Barbie. It looks like something Barbie would carry, but it changes colors to match your outfit. So you push a button, put the sensor near the outfit you're going to wear, and it actually color matches what the little girl is wearing. So, I mean, that's really, you've come a long way, baby, than the old Barbie purses I used to have when I was a kid. So there's going to be lots of electronic things out there for this Christmas. They're a little bit more expensive than what our toys cost. The Barbie handbag cost about $40. The dinosaurs cost around $80 or so. And like I said, the slot car is like $150. So it's going to be a pretty expensive Christmas this year if you're going to go electronic. But there's lots of stuff out there, so I may follow up with some adult toys next year, next week.
You know, Reza, it's like the Halloween thing. I used to go and maybe pick up a couple little things for Halloween and put them in the house. And they were just skeletons or whatever, ghosts. Now you walk down the aisle, and all these skeletons, I mean, from the motion sensor, these skeletons start moving, the skulls start talking, and I'm just walking down the aisle, and the skeleton's talking to me. And you know what's funny is I found some of this old stuff up in my attic from years ago, and I put it up, put a new battery in it, and it's like 10 years old, and it still worked. I was surprised.
Oh, yeah, well, as long as you don't destroy it, it'll still work, you know, usually at least. They don't wear out, especially the older toys. The newer toys, the technology changes, and you can't reuse some of it. But the older toys,
stick
a battery in there, it's pretty good.
Still goes. We'll have dancing reindeers, and there's all kinds of dancing Santas. Everything will be moving around. People won't be...
absolutely.
No sense of being lonely on Christmas. You have all these Santas talking to you.
Well, I don't know if that's good, but how about us going to Jim's gym?
Well, we've got 7 baby boomer financial mistakes to avoid. In an article I found in U.S. News, the majority of baby boomers are woefully unprepared for retirement. In large part, this is because baby boomers made many important financial mistakes. The following are several of the mistakes they made. They assume that what went up will continue to go up. Well, boy, you know, I was a victim of that one. I grabbed a condo, and I remember it was $70,000. And it went up to $100,000, $150,000. And I thought, you know what? This thing is $300,000-something. I better get it. And, boy, all of a sudden, there it went. From $400 down to $2,000. So... many baby boomers bought homes and upsized. This is another problem. They upsized to larger homes during the good years. They would use highly leveraged, okay, you're familiar with that, high-risk and unconventional loans. And many of us are familiar with that. They thought this was low-risk activity because of the equity they hoped would build up over their appreciation. All right. This turned out to be a costly mistake. The era of continuous increasing real estate asset values and home in the equity markets and bond yields has definitely slowed down. So I'm going to end it there. I'm going to continue it next week. But some of these issues, Reetha, we just cannot count on our homes being cash cows. You know, like, here's all this equity, let's just borrow on it. This is, the home is not meant to be a primary retirement nest egg. Right. For boomers who plan on using home equity as a retirement plan, their nest egg is now a cracked and empty shell. You know? So just some of the things, Aretha, I wanted to touch on and let the baby boomers know, because we have a lot of issues we're trying to keep them in touch with about, you know, their retirement nest eggs are not lasting. Their retirement, it's like that one statement I made. The average retiree made $44,000 a year. They're supposed to retire with 11 times that amount in the bank to retire halfway comfortably. That's $500,000. Okay, the fact is the average retiree only, they're retiring with only $20,000 to $25,000 in the bank, and you know how long that lasts.
Yeah.
It's gone because they don't plan when they're younger. That guess what? I have insurance, but I'm not considering the deductibles I have to pay every time I use my insurance. It could be $500, $5,000, whatever. You wind up with an illness. You're paying out a lot of your retirement savings very rapidly for all these expenses, and that doesn't count the other unexpected expenses that you're paying out. So anyway, it's not all doom and gloom,
like
folks.
I say, I'm going to have to work the rest of my life, so.
But like we were just talking about with Russ, it's good to keep busy. It's good to keep working. So let's always look at the positive side of this.
Well,
we have to continually check out the Easy Way Broadcasting Facebook fan page to keep up with all Eric's activities and all the stations. And, you know, guys, I know that, you know, we may put out some reports on the doom and gloom about what's facing the baby boomers, but there's the positive side, like Russ was saying, there's always another side. And we keep busy, we keep in shape, there's always ways to balance that budget. And Aretha
Absolutely.
Will keep us informed with her high tech.
Right, and speaking of things coming up, we have the Peace Fund Games on December 6th and 7th. It's a weekend of paintball and celebrities. There are going to be celebrities out there shooting each other.
That's
going to
be big. It's
going to
possibly break the Guinness Book of Records, Aretha. What do you think of that?
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Now, if we make Aretha a target, it will definitely draw a lot of attention.
Well, you know, people are trying to talk me into actually play paintball. It might happen. I probably won't last long because first hit, I'm probably down for the count. But Adrian Paul is going to be giving this event, and it's going to be real interesting with paintballs and fundraising and
celebrities.
Celebrities are going to be able to choose their own charity to donate the money
right.
that's raised for them. To their charity, or it'll just go into the Peace Fund pie, which will be distributed to different charities.
And,
but it's all to protect,
our,
educate, and aid children everywhere.
Right. And it's going to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, and our man Eric Zuli, Easy, will be hosting the games. And don't forget, it was changed from the Corona area down to Oceanside. And Eric will be there with his microphone. I don't know if they're going to be shooting at him, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting. And if I get a chance, Aretha, I'll back you up out there. Maybe we can make through this thing. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Have you ever done this, Aretha? I've never tried it.
They can always go to the fan page. Way Broadcasting fan page and get all the information about the Peace Fund Games.
Well, quite a show, Aretha. Quite a guest we had. We're in the. It's kind of historic when you have somebody like that on you. Some of these names that music we listened to when we were in our teens.
That's right. I was a big Beach Boy fan.
The Beach Boys.
Still am.
Well, you know. Do you still have your stuff? Do you still have some? I still have my 45s on the shelf.
Mama said we can always find a way. Find a way. Yeah. Find a way. Yeah. Oh, find a way. 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 Find a way.
Finally, something to look forward to on Monday morning.
I'm Aretha Gray from Betty White's Out There Rockers, and I've teamed up with Easy's dad, Jim Zuley, to rock your world on Baby Boomers Live. That's right, every Monday morning at 10 a.m., we will be discussing all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. So, tune in to EasyWayBroadcasting.com on BlogTalkRadio.com to see what Jim and I are up to. Your Mondays will never be the same.
Innovation, philanthropy, consciousness, and commerce collide with Hollywood at the 2015 Ascent Expo at the Los Angeles Convention Center on February 27th through March 1st. Get your company, product, idea, or cause exposed at this historic event, featuring beauty, fashion, art, and music on an enormous center stage with 50 electrifying performances, tens of thousands of people, and a star-studded red carpet. Experience an overwhelming flow of potential customers, clients, business partners, collaborators, and investors. Prime exhibitor space and sponsorships are selling fast. Visit AscentExpo.com. That's AscentExpo.com.
Easy Way Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easy Zuley and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
Thank you for listening to Baby Boomers Live with your host, Aretha Gray, star Betty White's Out There Rockers, and Easy's dad, Jim Zuley. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and keep up with us at babyboomerslive.info. Baby Boomers Live, brought to you by EasyWayBroadcasting.com on Blog Talk Radio.